September 6, 2023. I'm Randy Crispin, Chairman of the Public Service Commission, joined by Commissioners Sherry Haugen-Hoffert and Julie Fedorchak. So we have a quorum, and I call this meeting to order. Will you please join me in pledging our allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I don't have any opening comments this morning. Commissioner Haugen-Hoffert, do you?
No, I do not. Thank you.
Commissioner Fedorchak?
No, do I?
Well, then we'll move right into the agenda. We have 11 items on the consent calendar, so I move approval of those plus the previous minutes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Excuse me. I move the commission to adopt the order certifying use of Federal Universal Services Support and Public Service Commission USF Use Certification 47 CFR 54.314 2023 compliance case number PU-23-16.
Second.
So the Federal Telecommunications Act of 1996 requires that telecommunications carriers use universal service support only for the provision, maintenance, and upgrading of facilities and services for which the support is intended. States have to file an annual certification stating that all federal universal high-cost support provided to those carriers within the state was used in the preceding calendar year and will be used in the coming calendar year only for services for which the support is intended. And that state certification must be filed no later than October 1st of each year. So on that left a big question of how are states supposed to know that. As of August of 2002, the PSC issued an order indicating that any carrier that desires to have PSC certification in North Dakota to the FCC shall file an affidavit with the PSC certifying that federal support they received is used appropriately. The PSC further ordered back then that the affidavits will be the basis for certification. So affidavits regarding use of federal universal service support were filed by 48 companies. Those are listed in the order, so I won't repeat them. And this moves us forward in fulfilling our responsibility in that process.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
So, Randy, I have a question on this, or maybe some thoughts. And first of all, I really appreciated Victor's additional work that he put in on the review this year of this matter and the memo he sent us a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was a week ago, I don't recall. But I've always been a little bit uneasy with this process because it feels to me like the federal government has all this money and criteria that they've set up for hubs to be used. And then they say, well, states, you make sure that it's used right. And we don't have the staff to do that. And so we have this certification process that basically, and it is, you know, ask the companies to certify that they're using it correctly. And then we say, okay, they've certified, so we're good. And it feels like we're middlemen with no real substantive purpose. And it feels kind of uncomfortable for me because I feel like the federal government is asking us to ensure that these monies are being used correctly when we really don't have much authority or money or standards by which to do that. So I don't know how you feel about urging the companies to kind of go directly to the feds. If there's some downsides to that, I think there's an option for them to do that, where we aren't kind of the middlemen. And I know Victor's kind of explored that and sort of laid that out a little bit in the memo as a direction that we could be going. And since this is your portfolio and we really haven't had a chance to talk about that, I just wanted to see if you had any thoughts, if I'm missing something, that we shouldn't be letting go of this responsibility for some reason that I haven't figured out or heard. So just wanted to get your thoughts on that this morning, since it's on the agenda. I am going to support this. But.
Well, my answer to that is, I guess, that first of all, I sense, and this is just from memory from over 20 years ago, I believe that filing with the FCC is a lot more troublesome for the companies than filing with us. It's just such a much larger bureaucracy. And so, yeah, we are taking, and I don't think that this is a big burden on our staff. We're taking what I would call a relatively small burden, but that releases, what was it, 40-some companies of probably a bigger burden. And so in that way, I think it's good. But more importantly, we haven't had problems in this area, but that doesn't mean that there never will be, that maybe we hear of things where it's where the USF money is being used inappropriately, and maybe not just gossipy, but have pretty good reason to believe. Much easier for us to intercept that and work with the company or object to and refuse to certify them in this process than it would be to not be part of the process anymore and have to intervene in their case if they're working directly with the FCC. So I think there is some value to us, and I think that's why the FCC did it in the first place this way, that in addition to the affidavits, we would likely, you know, be more likely to hear about it from neighboring companies or competitors if someone was misusing the money.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad to hear your confidence in this structure. And it's probably something we could add to the agenda for our annual meeting with those companies, the band group. And the band gets back together to talk about some of the benefits that they see of having us involved, just so I feel better about it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Then I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Terracom Incorporated, designated eligible carrier, application case number PU-23-291.
Second.
On August 22nd of this year, so staff is very on the spot here, Terracom filed an application for designation as an eligible telecommunications carrier for receiving federal universal service support for low-income consumers. Terracom proposes to provide wireless prepaid lifeline services to qualifying low-income North Dakota customers by reselling another carrier's facilities. Issues to be considered in this proceeding are, is the applicant qualified to receive federal universal service funding? What ETC universal service support area should be designated? And is designation of the applicant as an ETC in the public interest? Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearings must be received by October 20th.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio, so I'll turn it over to you, Commissioner Haldenhofer.
Thank you.
I move the commission adopt the order in Otter Tail Power Company, 115 KV Substation and Transmission Line, Walsh and Grand Forks, Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU-23-228.
Second.
Thank you, Julie. On June 16th, Otter Tail Power filed an application for a certificate of public convenience and necessary to construct and operate a new 115 KV substation and transmission line in Grand Forks and Walsh County. We issued a notice of opportunity for hearing on July 12th. On July 28th, the North Dakota State Historical Preservation Office filed comments, and then on the 29th of August, the Commission discussed these matters with Otter Tail at an informal hearing. This project, as indicated, includes a newly constructed 115 kV substation near Ardoch, North Dakota, and approximately 6 miles of 115 kV electric transmission line, which will run through Grand Forks County and will terminate at an existing Mid-Cota substation located in Walsh County. Otter Tail noted that the load growth in northeastern North Dakota and northwestern Minnesota is causing the existing system to approach its maximum capacity. Otter Tail is part of the MISO region, and this project will provide new power source into the area and provide additional support into the integrated system, in which was approved by MISO in 2019. Otter Tail identified this project as phase 5 of their multi-year combined Otter Tail and Mid-Cota Power phase transmission plan. So with this project, as noted, they've already purchased their 10-acre parcel for the construction of the substation, and Otter Tail has also secured all the easements necessary for this 115 kV line. And is expected to be in place in the first quarter of 2024. When we discussed this project, it was originally estimated to be about $6.25 million. But Otter Tail brought forth in our informal meeting that the cost will likely to exceed $10 million. We noted that the Historical Society did make comment on this, and they recommended a Class 3 survey of the project area. While similar surveying and reporting requirements are common under the locational siting of the commission, insurance of the Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity is directed toward the orderly development of the capital-intensive utility investment, the commission finds that this request is beyond the purpose of the statute. And just noted that the company did say during the informal that they would be conducting the Class 3 survey. So based on all the information discussed at the informal hearing brought forth by Otter Tail in answering all our commission questions and the necessity of this 115 kV line, Otter Tail's application for the Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity to construct and operate a 115 kV substation and transmission line in Grand Forks and Walsh Counties is granted.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
If you'd entertain a question, did they say they would be doing a Class 3 cultural resource survey or that they did do a cultural resource survey?
It was my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, that they would be doing it.
Yes, to clarify, they did do some of the work on the substation in order to get the work done before the end of September, and there was an additional work that was going to be done along the 6 miles of the transmission lines that they would be doing.
Yep.
So,
okay, well, I'm really frustrated by this, and some of it goes back to other cases that I'm not going to get into and forthrightness of Otter Tail sometimes. But I'm not sure why, and I didn't really piece this all together maybe as well by the time of our informal, as I have been thinking about it since. My understanding was that they had done or had contracted for something, the Cultural Resource Survey, so I stand to be corrected about that, but it's not required, and I understood during the informal that, you know, their point about, well, but they didn't know how we were, what we were going to determine in that regard, and Chippewa would ask for it, and they need to move this along because, according to the application, they want to start construction this month yet, and they have already in some regards. But they never applied for this until the second half of June. Where was the application all this time? And now, in barely over 2 months, it's gone from $6.25 million to $10 million. And I want to emphasize that for me, whether you use the $10 million or the $6.25 million, this is for the CPCN. This does not approve any specific dollar amount as far as recovery on this. And I'm at this point asking staff to keep that in mind when this comes into play for approval, to really look at things closely, because whatever effort has been made for the Cultural Resource Survey, which wasn't a requirement of us, that's a small amount. That was one thing that was made clear. It also, that it's a very small amount anyway, so that wouldn't be much of that additional almost $4 million of spending. But how much of the other cost? And they talked about the contractors coming in way more than what they expected. How much of that was because they waited too long with going to bids or something? I don't know. Why is it off so much in a couple months? And so I'm really frustrated by the timing of this, that while our process is relatively simple on the CPCN, and they came in and they provided information in the informal, so we can go this quickly, but I wonder, I'm just concerned about how much costs are associated with starting too late on their part.
When looking at that, one of your comments, when we did discuss the costs, and they said the majority of the cost increase were due to the grading services at the substation. That's where, you know, when we dug into that a little bit, that's my recollection, Chair, on those costs where they have put a bunch to it. Yep.
So my concern is, when you're seeking an earthworking contractor, it's probably going to cost more if you're wanting them out there almost immediately than if you're doing it months in advance. So, yep. Something that I think we need to keep an eye on.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission suspend the tariff and rates, reduce the application fee to $10,000, and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Otter Tail Power Company, Advanced Metering and Distribution Technology, tariff and rates, case number PU-23-275.
Second.
On July 25th of this year, Otter Tail Power Company filed an application to change its tariff related to the new Advanced Metering and Distribution Technology, AMDT. Otter Tail also requested a permanent variance to North Dakota Administrative Code, Section 69-09-0210 and 69-09-0211 related to required frequency of meter reading and bill presentation. The issues to be discussed, to be considered in this proceeding are the tariff revisions just and reasonable? Do the proposed rates comply with the tariff? Are the proposed rates just and reasonable? And whether the request variance should be granted. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for a hearing must be received by October 20th, 2023. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission suspend the rates and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Otter Tail Power Company, Advanced Metering and Distribution Technology Cost Recovery 2024 rates, case number PU-23-283.
Second.
Thank you. On October 1st, Otter Tail Power Company filed a request for approval of its Advanced Metering and Distribution Technology Cost Recovery Rider rates for 2024. The purpose of the rider is to recover the costs associated with advanced metering infrastructure, demand response, and the outage management system not presently reflected in the retail rates from Otter Tail Power Company North Dakota customers. So they propose to recover approximately $1.3 million during the recovery period from January 1st, 2024 through December 31st, 2024, through a per meter charge for each customer class. The proposed residential rates will decrease from $1.71 per meter per month to 76 cents. And the large general service rate will decrease from $71.76 per meter per month to $21.80. The issues that were to be considered at the proceeding are, do the investments and associated costs qualify for recovery, whether the rate adjustments are consistent with the terms of their tariff, and are the proposed rates just and reasonable. Those desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest and the reason. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by October 20th, 2023. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Just a brief comment on this one, and at the risk of sounding really nitpicky, I feel like we made some concerted effort to try in this particular rider to make sure that it has a name that the public can understand when they see it on their bill. And advanced metering and distribution technology hopefully will be that way. But AMDT takes us way back in terms of being understandable. So I sincerely hope for the company out there listening to this, please don't plan on starting to use AMDT Rider as a shortcut to what the name is so that the public can understand what this actually is, because I had no idea what AMDT Rider was when I was reading this order a bit ago and talking to Victor about the various riders, and he had shortened it to AMDT, and I was like, what the heck is that, AMDT rider? So, and then on the bill also, I know that this is just a notice of opportunity for hearing, but on the bill language, the company, I think, needs to revisit that so that they don't shorten it so much that the public doesn't know, again, what it is. Because while this time around it's going down, in the future, it's only going down because they didn't get as much done this year as they expected. And so next time, the cost for this will be going up, and it'll be more noticeable, I think, in bills. And so we need to just get the rider named correctly so that people understand what it is that they're being charged for. So, sorry for that little soapbox, but I tried hard, and then I felt like we went backwards when I saw the end results, so I wanted to make sure that the company doesn't slide into that acronym.
I agree with you, Commissioner. I think I only said it once, otherwise I referenced to the whole thing. you're right. We talked a lot with the company about making sure that the customers know what this is for. And I concur, we, as I discussed with the staff, we don't want to lose sight of that in this. And I'm sure we're going to have many informal hearings on these cases. It's might go all formal, but we'll definitely be having informals on these based on the application submitted. Mm-hmm. So.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
I'm sorry.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I almost forgot which one I was on with Otter Tail.
I know, it's like Otter Tail Day.
Yeah, I felt like it. So my final one is I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Otter Tail Power Company administrative tariff changes in rate schedules. Tariff case number PU-23-290.
Second.
On August 17th, Otter Tail filed an application for approval to change the rate schedule 14.02 and 14.03 to close the rates that are using real-time pricing and system marginal energy pricing for new customers. The current software for these tariff reaches its end of life in 2025, and Otter Tail is seeking new software and would like to avoid causing confusion to new customers that might result from methodology changes in the process. The tariff revisions will have no impact on the rates for North Dakota customers. So those interested or desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceedings and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by October 16th, 2023. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That ends my portfolio.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
Thank you, Randy. I move the commission assess an application fee of $10,000 and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Wild Rose Pipeline Company Hawthorne Oil Transmission. Is that what TRAN is? North Dakota transfer quarter number 110 and route number 120, citing application case number PU-23-287.
Second.
So this is a notice of opportunity for a transfer of the certificate. We granted the certificate back in 2009 to Hawthorne Oil for the construction and operation of this 6-mile, 8-inch diameter crude oil pipeline and associated facilities in Montreal County. On May 28th, Hawthorne filed a certificate for construction of a second crude oil pipeline within that designated corridor under certificate number 110. That was never constructed. So on August 14th of this year, Hawthorne and Wild Rose Pipeline Company filed this application to transfer the certificate and route permit from Hawthorne to Wild Rose Pipeline Company, LLC. Any comments or requests for hearing must be received by October 18th of this year on this matter, and if necessary, we can make a decision without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, my last one. Believing that there will be no prejudice to the rights of the parties or the public interest and finding the cases involve similar questions of law and fact, I move the commission consolidate these cases for hearing under North Dakota Administrative Code 6902.04.04, issue a notice of opportunity for consolidated hearing in Dakota Natural Gas LLC, Natural Gas Pipeline, Larimore, and Arvilla, North Dakota, Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU-23-300. and Dakota Natural Gas LLC, Natural Gas Pipeline, Larimore and Arvilla, North Dakota Tariff, case number PU-23-301. I further move the Commission assess an application fee of $10,000 in Dakota Natural Gas LLC, Natural Gas Pipeline, Larimore and Arvilla, North Dakota, Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU-23-300.
Second.
So this is another exciting development with Dakota Natural Gas. They want to expand and add new service in Larimore and Arvilla, North Dakota. This is a small company that's been hard at work in the northeastern part of the state, connecting a decent number of smaller communities to natural gas service. They seem to have found a formula for doing that, and here they're trying to extend that service a bit further. This case involves tariff revision that would allow them to change their tariff and add these two new communities, PCNN, to determine that nobody else is providing service in those areas, and they would be the proper ones to do that. And then a review of the jurisdictional determination regarding siting. The company doesn't believe that these new lines that they have to construct qualify for needing a siting permit because they're distribution lines and they're actually constructing them all by plowing, trenching, versus digging and building a significant pipeline. So that's what's involved in this case, and we appreciate staff moving quickly in this to get them on the agenda and consolidate them so that we can start taking a look at this and getting a decision to that company.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Oh, one more thing, Steve. Sorry. Comments and requests for a hearing on this need to be received by October 20th. That's the most important thing.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That's it for me, Randy.
Okay. Regarding some announcements here that I want to make, and those are pretty limited. This afternoon, we actually have an informal with Otter Tail on, it's two cases, the Ashtabula 1 and Ashtabula 3 wind upgrade projects. And the only other thing I want to emphasize that our next regular meeting is Wednesday the 27th at 10 o'clock. So it's a 3-week spread in there. So I want to point that out to everybody. With that, we will stand in recess and take some questions from the press.